Hey
Hey
guys,
guys.
welcome or welcome back to Likewise Pod. I'm Issa.
And I'm Sam, and we're so excited for another episode this week. And it is our first guest episode for May, and we cannot be more excited to be doing guest episodes again. And not only any guest episodes, but an author interview because we have not been bookish for a while. I mean, we got into it a little bit last week, but we are getting back to our very, very fun format of guest episodes that we do with our author besties, and it's going to be so much fun. And so today we have Monica Liu with us, and we cannot be more excited. So I will just pass it off to her to introduce herself to you.
Thank you. First of all, I just want to thank the girls for having me here. Sorry, I can't stop laughing. It's been really like nice talking to you guys, and this has been planned for like time now, and I'm so honored to be here. For those who don't know me, my name's Monica Liu, and I'm the author of Damned and Beautiful, which is my debut coming out today, actually, May 10th, 2024. It's my first book ever, and it's also the first book in an interconnected series. It's a slow burn, friends to lovers, small town romance. It has grumpy sunshine. It's English teacher, ex-single dad. She fell first, he falls harder. Interracial couple. There's funny banter and stuff, but also a lot of serious moments. And yeah, if you're interested, maybe go check it out when you're done listening to this.
Yes, and Sam and I both had the privilege of ARC reading, and it's been, oh my gosh, such a wild ride. So many different thoughts and emotions in this. I'm like, I don't know which way to look now. So we're so excited to be here and to be speaking with Miss Monica today. But before we get into the meat of it all, the main attraction, what everyone's here for today, we're of course going to start with our roses and thorns for the week. So Sam, do you want to get us started?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, guys, I had such a hard time coming up with roses and thorns, and I don't know if it's because I forgot until right when I was pulling up the doc to like think about them. But or if it's because like Issa and I just recorded not that long ago for this last week, and so I'm just like, wait, I don't have anything new. But my thorn is that I had a really bad headache from like middle of yesterday up until like maybe an hour ago. But thank goodness it's gone now. And like I like went to bed last night and I woke up, and the second I opened my eyes, I just like felt it on the exact same part of my head, and I was like, get out, like I cannot get up right now.
I know those ones. I
Yeah,
hate
no, they're
those
the
ones.
worst. And then my rose, it seems like a cop out, but guests, like I'm so excited for this episode. And then I also am about to finish the audiobook I've been listening to for like 2 months, because I just like it's kind of been a long one, and then my slump had been so bad, but I have like 30 minutes left in this audiobook, and so I will be
What
on
book?
track with my, okay, it's called Beauty Sick. It's nonfiction. It's like this psychology professor from Northwestern University. And it's kind of just like a bunch of like summaries of these like interviews they did with like a wide spectrum of girls. Like they talked to some really young, like elementary age girls, then like more like teenage, and then some adult girls, like just about like their perceptions of themselves and like body image and things. It was really impactful, but I do have some, it's been so redundant at the same time. Like it's just so long and just feels like a lot of conversational summarizing, and it's, I'm just like kind of over it. Also because I got, it was like so far towards the end, I have a lot of questions because I was like listening, and there was a moment where the audiobook narrator was recapping an interview that the researcher did with someone who is Chinese, and the audiobook narrator started talking in like a very offensive accent, and that was so bad. I literally, I, yeah,
That's
it was
not
terrible. Like I was like, I'm about to DNF this right now, but I was like, I'm gonna finish listening to this and then I will rant about it on Goodreads. So yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm so like, I'm like And I went on Goodreads and nobody else is talking about it. So I don't know. I have questions and I'm like, should I email this professor? Like, should I be like,
Stop.
how did you let this happen in your audiobook? Yeah. Anyways, so that's been my wild experience of the week. But I am excited to be done with it.
Yeah, audiobooks are long. I'm not, that's the only reason why I haven't really gotten into them. I want to listen to Jeanette McCurdy's audiobook for her book.
Yes. Yes.
I've heard very, very good things. And I always loved Jeanette McCurdy as a kid. Like, that was me. Well, I also loved Ariana Grande. So it's just, I'm biased, but like, Sam is literally me. So, yeah.
Yes. No, I think you should totally listen to it because I kind of had a hard time getting into that book just trying to read it like physically. And I definitely think the audiobook would have changed the
It's
game
because
for
she
me.
voices it, right? She voices
Yeah.
it. Yeah.
She totally does. But anyways, I kind of forgot to transition that to you. But Monica, what are your roses and thorns of the week?
It's all good. So if I understand correctly, it's highs and lows, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Highs. So far, like, the ARC readers have been like giving me feedback after reading, and all of them have been so nice and beautiful, and so like I keep smiling. Like, one of them made me cry, actually. Which one was it? Hold on. I'm gonna find it as I'm talking, but one of them made me cry, and then I sent it to my best friends on the group chat. I showed my mom, and I was like, look at how like nice this is. Like, it's just, I'm not very used, I don't take compliments really well, like, to be honest. In real life, I don't take them well at all. So, see, I put a lot of work into the books and everything, so into my words, and I was very like thoughtful about a lot of things. So to hear that even the smallest things are impacting people in a way I didn't think they would, because I'm so used to only feeling things the way I do. It was really, really nice. I found it. So, Life with Books, thank you so much for your review. Like, it's the most like heartwarming thing I've ever read in my life. Like, I read it and I started crying. So, yeah, a little shout out for that. So that's my highs, all the reviews, and just overall excitement for release, but also my low. Well, like, something did happen last night, but I'm not gonna get into that. But it was just a mess in itself. Like, it was just embarrassing and not great for a lot of people, but that would be a low for sure.
So fair. No, I know I've been seeing your like reposts of reviews. I'm like, oh, that's so cute. And like that just I love that part of like just any book process. It's so fun like seeing all of our author friends and like send out ARCs or newly published and just seeing like the reviews. I'm like, this is so sweet. Oh, my
Yeah, it's
heart
been great. It's been
just
great for sure.
feeds my words of F, even though it's not to me.
Yeah, no, literally, it's reassuring in a way. It's like the times where you thought this was trash, you were wrong. So.
Yeah, no, for sure. My thorn is that like last night my mom's sister and I we went to see a Don Quixote ballet and it was an experience to say the least. Like I don't know like how many people are actually familiar with Don Quixote and like that whole story, but Don Quixote, he is the main character. Like he's actually part of it. He does things. The ballet, he wasn't there. All he did was walk around, look like a fool, look like he didn't know what was going on. And it's like, yeah, I guess like that's kind of who this old crazy man is. But he literally didn't like he didn't do any ballet at all. It was all about like these two dancers, or like guest dancer artists or whatever. I don't even know. And not to say that it was bad, but if that was my first exposure to Don Quixote and then I like watched a movie or like read the book, I'd be like, that's not what I watched the that's not what I saw the first time I saw this. And I don't know. It was so confusing. And like that's one of my mom's favorite stories. Like she has Don Quixote and like so many different book versions and editions of Don Quixote. Like she has like at least three or four or seven. I don't know. But she loves it. And then she's like, I don't know what I just watched, but it wasn't Don Quixote. Like it wasn't even the same universe. I was like, yes, yeah, same cool. And then my sister, like, we were just all on the same page. We're like, not sure what that was. Wasn't even an adaptation. It was like, way spinoff or something. I don't know. Anyways, but they were good. So good for them. But yeah. My Rose. Like Sam, I just love guest episodes, and it's so much fun to like be doing interviews again and talking with people after so long of not, because we want to like space out our bookish stuff, because like, yes, we love like our bookish episodes and all that stuff, but also we love our lifestyle episodes, so fun. Anyways, also waffles. I'm such a waffle girly, and I'm pretty sure that is likewise Laura, that I do not like
Yeah,
pancakes at all.
hate
Love
them.
waffles. Love
Waffles are
waffles,
better.
and
Waffles are
so
so much
good.
better. You can't change my
Yeah,
mind.
exactly. And after going to South Carolina, like we went to Waffle House, which I'm pretty sure I mentioned in the last episode. And my life has changed. Like, I'm obsessed. I want Waffle House up here. It's so bad. So I found a copycat recipe, and like it's so good. Oh, I just love waffles. I eat them dry. Yum. Amazing. That's how you know it's a good waffle. Also, I found my glasses after misplacing them like a month or two ago. They were in my jacket pocket that I wore to Don Quixote last night.
That's
So I
so
was like, nice.
real.
Which is so funny. I mean, because like it's been nice weather, so like I haven't been having to wear like my big puffy coat lately. So I guess it makes sense that I can find them.
Wow. Rose thorns were so fun today. That was awesome. Oh my goodness. But like we said earlier during Monica's intro, today, the day this episode comes out, is the release date for Damned and Beautiful. And so before we get into like getting to know you more and asking some questions, we figured we could talk a little bit of quick promo about Damned and Beautiful. So like anything you want to share about it, where people can find it to get it since it's out now.
Yeah, I got you. So, Damned and Beautiful is available on Amazon only at the moment. Hopefully I can change that, but Ingram Spark is not my best friend at the moment. So,
No.
until then, it's available on Amazon as an ebook and paperback. You can also read it on Kindle Unlimited if you have that subscription. Add it to your Goodreads TBR. It should be on there as well. And yeah, if you guys want to hear a little short synopsis, I'll try to read this as fast as I possibly humanly can because I do not have a short version of this because coming up with the blurb in general was a lot of work. So, grief is a powerful thing, but love conquers all. A man whose love and compassion was only reserved for a select few, Ezra Vest, was cold-shouldered, skeletons hanging in his closet from his dark past that continues to lurk over his life even over half a decade later. With a painful reminder in the form of his 6-year-old, Margaret, he soon comes to realize her unhappiness and the fact that he barely knew his daughter. In an effort to fix their relationship, he decides a change in scenery is what they need, even if it means going back to the hell he ran away from. The plan was not to become acquainted with his daughter's English teacher. The plan was not to enjoy her company, to relish her smiles, find pleasure in watching her beautiful dark skin radiate against the light, and as terrified as he was, he couldn't stay away. That temptation was Iridessa Zola. The woman knew pining over her student's father was probably against some regulation, that finding excuses to see his face around the small town of Avon Harbor was probably creepy. All signs pointed to pursuing him being a bad idea, but the man with his green eyes and rose hand tattoo was too irresistible. And no matter how hard he tried to push her away, she only pulled louder. She wanted him, even if it possibly meant breaking both their hearts in the end. Ooh, that was a little of a mouthful, to be honest.
It's so good. I love that.
Thank you. But yeah, you guys can go check it out. I think the funniest thing that's happened so far about this is like one of my best friends, when I showed her the cover, she was like, I was so confused at first because I read that as damn it. And I was like, the girl can't even spell and she wrote a book. And I was like, you know what? You're real for that, but no, it's damned. It's not damned it. I started laughing so hard when she said that. I was like, nobody's had that issue yet. Oh, it killed
That's
me.
so funny. That is actually so funny. I have a tear leaving the corner of my
Stop.
eye. Wow. No, I love it. I love the way that like the title is placed on the cover. There's just something so, it just like tickles my brain because it's just so unique. And like I love when covers are like text heavy, like when the text is what like really catches your eye. So Chef's kiss. It was so good.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Amazing. Okay, questions. I'm so excited for these questions because if you've never listened to a guest episode, Issa and I always mention that coming up with questions is like our favorite thing in the whole world. Like, we just love coming up with interview questions. So we figured the best place to start would be with getting some background on you as an author, and just so like a full overview, whatever you want to share, like when did you start writing and what made you decide to publish?
I started writing, I think maybe when I was 14. I can't remember for the life of me, but I want to say like 14. And it was on everybody's favorite orange app, Wattpad. What a time. I actually feel really sad for people who are on Wattpad now. Like, it's so dead. It makes me so sad.
So
Like
bad. You have to
Wattpad
pay for
back
stuff now
then.
too.
No, I know, it's crazy. It's wild, actually. It's so sad. It makes me so sad. It was so iconic. Like, poor girly. But I'm sure she's still making money somehow. Anyway, yeah. So back then I was really active on Wattpad, and I guess one day I just decided, let me write my own book. And my first ever story on there was something called Her Light. I would try to explain it to you guys, but I cannot remember for the life of me. All I remember is that I was eagerly similar to another book. That's all I remember. But I doubt you guys have heard of it. I've written poems here and there between that time, and just like writing for English in high school and everything. Special shout out to my English teacher, Miss Clark, who always read my and that was always, a lot of fun. And I definitely wrote more stories on Wattpad. My most popular one, which hopefully I want to rewrite one day, but this is a little bit of a controversial title, but it was called For the Love of the Broken Prostitute, which is like wild. Yeah, it was wild. It was my most famous one. I think it got like up to 50K, something like that. Yeah, it was. I never even finished it. That's the crazy part. Like, it was like halfway done. And then like if Ruby Rana is r listening to this right now, like, she's the only one other than somebody else who knows like me from like before. Like, we used to be friends during that time, and she knows about that book. So if she's listening, she knows what I'm talking about. And that was like a time. But yeah, and that was another story I didn't finish. And just, I never really finished any of my stories. And I guess I don't really know why it's hard to write. I'm telling you right now, it's so hard to write. But why I write, honestly, is like, it's a way for me to express my feelings in a way I struggle to when I'm speaking. When I talk, like, words come out before I'm even thinking it, to be honest. So when I'm like taking my time to explain things, it's so much easier for me to express myself and really articulate what I'm trying to say. And then to answer your other question, why I wrote Damned and Beautiful, there's a lot of reasons, a lot of reasons. But the main one was because I wrote it for me. I wrote it for like me, who's a hopeless romantic. Like, all my friends know this. Like, there's nothing I want more than love. I love watching it, I love seeing it, I love reading it. It's like, who doesn't want to experience that, you know? And I think every reader, like, when after you get into romance and you read a lot of it, you like have this craving for unrequited and unconditional love. And it's a very strong like feeling, and sometimes many of us don't have a place to put it for a very long time. So I wanted to put it in my book. I needed it to go somewhere. Like, I didn't have time to deal with these feelings, so I put it in my book instead. And it kind of just like took, like, the story kind of just blossomed from my love for books and my love for small town stories and cute romances, cute fluffy romances, but also really emotional romances. Like, I love me a sad book the same way I love me a good sad song. Sad songs make me happy. I don't know about you, but that's if sad songs make me really, really happy. And I also wrote it for a version of myself that doesn't come out a lot. A person who deals like with grief, but like not in the traditional sense. I wrote down like explain that a little bit, but honestly, I don't know how to explain it. It just means like in the sense of like, You know when you like lose somebody, but like they're not dead, they're just no longer part of your life, and you've had them in your life for a really long time, or even if it's a short period of time, they had a big impact on your life. So when you lose them over something so like trivial too, it's a really, really heartbreaking feeling. Like I've never experienced heartbreak, but I've lost friendships, and honestly, like that feeling sucks. So grief in that sense.
I love that. It's so good. And it's like so exciting to hear your story behind it and like just like your drive and idea to write it. So thanks for sharing with us. We want to bring it back to, we already talked about your cover, but we want to bring it back to that again because honestly,
Of
we are so
course.
obsessed with it. Like literally one of my favorite covers I've ever seen. And it is
I
just
appreciate that
so,
so much.
it is
That
so
means the
stunning.
world to
Like,
me.
and the fact that you designed it yourself, oh my gosh, obsessed. Like, what was the process like bringing that to life? And would you do it again for future books?
Yeah, so I appreciate that a lot. Like I've been obviously like getting a lot of compliments in the past, actually not even just the past few weeks, just the past few months of just promoting and everything. And I would like to say like I've been pretty humble when it comes to everything, but when it comes to the cover, I have a little bit of confidence because I would like to hear that. Like, it took me 4 days to make that cover, so yeah. It took me 4 days to make that cover, so hearing like it's like, oh yeah, my hard work paid off, you know. Yeah, so I'm very, very extremely nitpicky. I get it from my mother. We're very perfectionist people, and the thing is like when we have a vision for something, we know exactly what we want. We just don't know what it is yet. And when I was making the cover, I was thinking immediately when I was originally like making the story, I was like, I want flowers. Like this gives very much flowers vibes. And I was like, I know I want it to be pink because this book was heavily inspired by Love in Other Words and also A Thousand Boy Kisses. So I need it to be pink. And then I was like, okay, but I don't want the cover to be, I want something new. Like I want something that will really catch people's eye. So I went to see like newer release like romances. And at the time, Elsie Silver's Chestnut Springs book had just been traditionally published back in August. So I saw her covers. I was like, okay, these are look cool. Like I like the way that the font is placed and whatever. So like I kind of just pulled from all those things. And then I went to Canva and I sat down. And the thing is like I get so easily frustrated when things don't go my way. When I'm like when I piss myself off, honestly. So I would be like standing there getting a bunch of elements. Like I got Canva Pro just for this because I knew I couldn't afford, unfortunately, a graphic artist or anything to make my cover. So I knew I had to make it myself. So I got Canva Pro, which I could afford. And I kind of just grabbed elements. I was like, oh, I need like a letter in here. I need these flowers. I need a heart in there to represent the series. Like I need this, that, the third. Oh, I want this quote here, but no, I want it in bold and blah, blah, blah. The cover looks a lot different than it originally looked like. Originally, I was gonna have a stock photo, but then I was like, ew, I don't wanna do that. I want, I like designed covers, if that makes sense. Like, what's the word? Not graphic, but like
Like
illustrated.
illustrated.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, illustrated covers. Like, I like them, they're fun. So I was like, no stock photo, but pretend it's a stock photo, so like place it in a way the stock photo would have been placed. So that's kind of what I did. But the funny thing is like even when I was done after those 4 days, I ended up changing it again 2 months later. The back, you guys see where the like little town is at the bottom, that originally was not there. So last
Good
minute decision I
decision.
made literally 5 days before I released the cover like reveal, I changed that. Like I'm so indecisive, it's insane. But yeah, that was kind of my vision for it. And to answer your question about future books, funny enough, I already made the covers for the next two books in this series. The thing is like I couldn't do it later on because then I just like I had to keep the momentum. So I made the covers for book two and book three, and they are all cohesive. I think book two's one is my favorite. It's so pretty. It's so pretty. It's my favorite one. Yeah, and funny enough, a little news as well. I have such a problem that I also designed For other covers for my next series, which is not coming out for like 3 years, it's actually really difficult to like look at them because it's like I'm not gonna be able to write this for a minute, but I have the covers for them and I just want to share it with somebody. Like, very frustrating. And last thing, I also made the cover a special cover that'll be coming out for Damned and Beautiful on July 17th. This is the only place I'll be announcing it. So if they don't hear from here, it's going to be a surprise drop. So it's going to be coming out on my birthday. So I'm really excited. I showed it to my best friends, especially one of them who is like obsessed with Pink. She loves Pink. So when she saw it, she was like, "Oh my God, I need it. I need it signed with your name. Like, I need everything." I was like, "Yeah." So yeah, I'll
Wait.
send you guys like a little picture so you can see, but
Oh my
that is
gosh,
so
we're honored.
amazing. At Pink Covers, we love Pink Covers. They're honestly our favorite. I have a whole
Obsessed.
stack next to me of Pink Covers. Like,
As you
it is,
should.
they're just elite. And then also, my birthday is July 12th. So, like,
Oh my God, twin!
yes.
That's my best friend's birthday as well.
No way. Oh my gosh, this is so
Yeah.
exciting. So unrelated. But it's so real to like design all your covers in advance before anything's even written. Like, I know
I
so many people
know.
who have been doing that, and then like I've been so stuck like writing my book that I just like designed the cover because I was like, maybe if I make the cover, I'll like
Get
have inspiration and
inspiration.
like motivation to write.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's
no, it's
very
so,
helpful.
yeah.
Very much
Oh my
helpful.
gosh,
If it
Sam,
wasn't
yours is a
for
pink cover too. It is
Oh
pink.
my gosh, really?
Yes.
I was gagged when I heard it on the podcast. I was like, a surprise. Let me go listen to that episode. So I went to listen to it and I literally was like, no way. I said audibly, no way. My cousin looked at me and she was like, what? I was like, they're publishing a book. I'm so excited for that. You guys, congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. That's so exciting.
Oh wait, but the cover that she's designed is for her
Her
stand-up
standalone?
or like
Oh yeah, like
we
my
have not
solo books.
done ours
Oh,
yet.
fun. I'm
I've been
so
meaning
excited to
to,
hear
but
more
have
about
not.
that.
Yes, amazing. But today is all about you. So
Yeah, real.
okay. One of my favorite parts about reading Damned and Beautiful is the small town aspect because I love a small town romance. And so let's talk all about Haven Harbor because that is the small town that the book takes place in. And I've really fallen in love with the town. One of the things that I love, I'm like daydreaming about eating strawberry shortcakes from Lori's because I love strawberry shortcakes. And if they're the world's best, I gotta have it. So just like, what was it like creating the town, or like, where did you get inspiration from?
So I love Lucy's score. I know that like sounds really random, but I'll get to the point in a second. I love Lucy's score. Like, nobody can make me hate Lucy's score. I know like not a lot of people are a fan of her writing. Like, one of my favorite YouTubers ever hates Lucy's score. It's the funniest thing. And I'm just like, I find it so funny because I'm into a lot of the books that she is, but she does not like Lucy. But I love Lucy. I haven't finished the Knockmouth series because I read book one before it went viral, and I haven't had the chance to get book two, book three, because unfortunately for me, not for her. She got traditionally published for good, so good for her. But I have the indie version, so that's not great. But yeah, that's the only reason why I haven't been able to read the other ones. But I love the way she writes a small town story. Like, a lot of her standalones, which is the ones I've read, our small town stories, and she's the reason why I adore small town. I wasn't the biggest fan before because I found them a tad bit repetitive, but I just love the way she writes one. So that's kind of why I was like, you know what? In honor of Lucy, I'm gonna write small town. Like, I kind of have to at this point. And when it comes to like the aspects of the town itself, like, I knew I wanted a beach town, but you know, I don't live in the States. I have not been to California yet, so I know nothing. So I had to do like a lot of research. And I based off Haven Harbor off a small town called Carpinteria, which is like west of Los Angeles. It's super cute and is exactly how I imagined Haven Harbor when I was writing it. I've never been, but I kind of have to now one day because I wrote like a town based off it. And I knew like I wanted something about strawberry shortcakes because at the time, my mom and I, so see, I live in Ontario, Canada, and we go to Mississauga a lot. If you know where Saga is, hi. But we went to get a lot of strawberry shortcakes from our favorite Portuguese bakery at the time. So I was like, I have to commemorate this. Like, this is literally my vibe right now. They're so good. Like, I wish everybody could have those strawberry shortcakes. I'm addicted to them. They're so good. But yeah, that's kind of where the inspiration came from for Haven Harbor.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun. That's so cute. Oh, I love hearing about, like, I feel like I just said this, sorry, but I love hearing about everyone's inspirations, about like where they got inspiration from. That's really awkward.
It's okay. I get what you're trying to say. I
Yeah.
find it very, very interesting as well because a lot of like my ideas, like you'd when I tell you where I got them from, you'd be like, are you crazy? Like once I had an idea for a mafia story based off Despicable Me and Criminal Minds. So I don't know if I'm ever gonna write it, but like it just came to me at night once and I was like, how sick would that be? That's
Yeah,
so
not to
funny.
be disrespectful, but I don't know that I want that.
Not like it's based off like Lucy and Gru's relationship, so like kind of like a spy thing, not literally
Okay.
the
Not
Despicable Me story.
it's like the
There's
minions?
no
What are they gonna be
minions,
doing?
not the minions. No, as much as I love them, King Bob forever. I love that little man.
For real. Oh my gosh.
Bob is literally my spirit animal, love him.
I love Bob. Oh. So, I guess getting to know you more a little bit, like, what's one of your favorite lines or moments that you've written and why?
All right, so there's a lot of moments in the book, I won't lie, like that I really, really love. A lot of them like came to me like in the middle of the night or when I was walking or I was just doing something and I was like, oh my God, I have to write this and I wouldn't even be at that chapter yet. But my favorite for sure is a scene in Iris's kitchen in what I believe is chapter 18. It was the first chapter I wrote before like I was at that point of the book. Like I think I wrote it when I was writing chapter 3. Originally it was not chapter 18. It was like chapter 11, 12 and I was like no, I need like a little bit space before we get to that chapter. And it's the one if I think it's one of three scenes that stayed relatively the same as I was going through editing, just because when I wrote that scene, I knew exactly how I wanted it. I knew exactly how I wanted it to go. If anything, the only thing that really changed was like more descriptive words, because like originally in the draft, it was like insert words here, make it more descriptive, please. And little part and then but yeah that's how it was mostly like but I knew like if when you guys read the scene like who know those who have read the book already know what I'm talking about but I wanted that line so bad like when I came up with that line I was like yes you ate that like yes that's good I like that one let's keep it so yeah it's one of my favorite lines and another one because I can't have one favorite is a couple like more towards the end of the book like when Iris and Ezra are really like really getting to like get to know each other now that their like feelings are out and everything and I like that I like the way that they talk to each other it's very very different than what the other books will display but I like it like it's very oh what's the word like I don't know what the word is that I'm trying to look for, but it's very like ex not expressive, but my words are not working today, but you get what I'm trying to say.
You're good. And they never worked for me either.
You would think after all the books we read, we'd be so good at this by now.
No. Actually, it's like you're sitting down to write and you're like, wow, I just used the same word three times in
No, literally.
one paragraph.
Very frustrating. It gets, I think the hardest part for me when I'm writing, is when, like, after dialogue, he said, she said, or he retorted or whatever. That is my least favorite thing to do because I hate having to read he said, he said, he said, he said, she says, he's. I want like a switch up in between, but coming up with different switch ups without it being out of context, so f difficult, man. Like,
So
it's
real.
definitely the thing I struggle with most, if other than like maybe starting and finishing.
Real. I love that. That is so true. Kind of along the same lines as having like favorite lines and things, like obviously not to make you play favorites with characters at all, but is there a character that you've written that you feel like you relate to the most?
So at first, like, and I've been saying this until like maybe like 2 weeks ago, but everybody was asking me what this question, and I always said Iris. Like, Iris is me. Like, I wrote the book for me, so Iris is emulates me in a lot of ways, and like a little bit of people in my life, like my cousin and my best friends. But she is mostly me in the sense of how she deals with her drama and how I operate as a human, whether or not that's a good or a bad thing. It's mostly bad, to be frank with you. But it's she's very much like me. But as I got more into writing Ezra's backstory, because I really didn't. So when I was, okay, I'm gonna go a little sidetracked here, but when I was originally like making the character profiles, I made Iridesa's backstory first, but Ezra's came in a little later. Like, it wasn't at the same time the way that I did for book two. But that's why I kind of struggled with how I wanted to have Ezra come out with his feelings and just his overall past. And as I was writing it more and really, basically getting to know Ezra, I realized that I related to him a lot too when it came to grief, and just it's in some, like, the way that we both handle it doesn't benefit us in any way, shape, or form. And why we're both kind of trying to improve on how we go about that. So I guess both my main characters are small reflections of myself.
Oh, I love that. That's, I mean, because everyone always says, like, you write what you know, or like, whatever your craft or your art is, like, you do what you know, right? And so, like, that just, it makes sense that, like, so many people that we've talked to, they're like, oh, yeah, the person I relate to most is like my first FMC or my FMC, you know? And it's like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. Funny enough though, and we'll get to this when you guys, a little later, but that's completely incorrect for book two. That is completely incorrect. That's, well, we'll get to that a little later.
I can't wait. But still on the topic of your main characters, do you have a dream fan, or we've started calling it author cast, for your for
I
them?
like it. I like it. Anyone who knows me in like real life know that when I would say, when did I start watching it? I want to say from 15 to 16, a little bit of 17, I was obsessed with the CW Flash. Like, I didn't realize that there was DC shows, because like I'm a Marvel fan at heart, and you'll know this for sure if you read Damned and Beautiful, because there's so many references. But I'm a Marvel fan first, but when it comes to like DC shows, like animated shows, and like the older ones from like late 2000s, early 2000s, I was like obsessed with them. But I didn't realize that DC had live action shows until much later in life. So when I originally found The Flash, me and my family were obsessed. Like, we watched all first four seasons, because there was only four available at the time, in literally 2 months. And then we kept watching season after season after season. And funny enough, the Iris in that show is annoying as hell, but I loved the name Iris, and I think Candace Patton is gorgeous. So if I had to pick, and because she's still pretty young, so, well, Maybe not when, if my book would ever become a live action. But if I could have her at her age now, or even a little younger, I would definitely cast Candace, because she is Iris at the end of the day, even out of sight of my book. As for a fan cast of Ezra, see, the thing is like, I never, even like for books that aren't mine, I never fan cast the man. I just feel like, as somebody who doesn't have a type, first of all, it's so hard for me to like imagine my perfect husband even. So I don't like putting a face on Ezra, even if I do compare him to Aaron Taylor Johnson in the book. But if I had to, had to, had to, he's a little bit of a mix of Aaron Taylor Johnson, but also like Travis Kelce, but like not Travis who's dating Taylor now. Travis, when he was dating his ex, that vibe. Because there's this picture that I found on Pinterest with him and his ex, and I was like, oh my God, that's Ezra. He had these glasses and everything. He's smiling. He's so cute. I'm like, that's literally Ezra. So yeah, a little bit mix of both, for sure.
I love that. I love hearing what people think because sometimes I just like when I read books, I picture the same person. And sometimes
Stop.
it's like it's not even like celebrities. Sometimes I'm like, who is this person I'm picturing? Because I've never seen them before in my life. Like I've just like created them in my head. Like maybe it's someone I saw on Pinterest forever ago and like their image was just like strong enough to stick. But I do love sometimes when like characters mention celebrity crushes or something, because then I'm like, oh, now I know who this is like supposed to look like or something. So it's just so much fun to like know where things come from. But I guess this is kind of switching gears a little bit to just bookish in general. But do you have any like favorite books that you would recommend to like absolutely everybody?
Yeah, so I'll start a little bit with like random genres, but some of my favorite series ever, The Lunar Chronicles by Marissa Mayer. My cousin gave it to me like around like COVID time, and I'm a girl who loves a good Disney retelling, so I'm obsessed with any kind that ever comes out. So when I found out that it was sci-fi, a little bit of action, I got excited because I love me a good action movie. So yeah, that was a good series. Six of Crows was the duology was my first fantasy book ever, and I couldn't like process how good it was. Like, I was so obsessed with Kaz Brekker. I was like, there's no way somebody wrote something so perfect. Like, the way that Leigh Bardugo is able to write a scene is like cinematographic. Like, that's not a word, but you get what I'm trying to say. Like, it's so cinematic the ways that she writes. So that as well. And then another one that's non-romance is A Good Girl's Guide to Murder. I know people, basically anybody who's a fan of AGTM is sounding starting to sound like a broken record, but we're saying it for a reason. It is that good of a series. If you haven't read it yet, I feel bad for you, because the quadruple plot twist that happens in that first book literally slaps your face. I'm still shocked to this day. It's been 3 years and I'm still shocked. Like, and I'm so excited for Netflix coming out with this series. The fact that they picked such good casts, like, they cannot drop the ball on this one. I promise the whole fandom will ruin Netflix if they do. Like, you can't f this up. Like, you actually can't. But yeah, that's the non-romance ones. And then for romance, I have Love in Other Words, An Optimist's Guide to Heartbreak, which it's a duology. I like book one a lot better, but it was still really good. Maybe Once, Maybe Twice, by, I forget her name, but it's a recent book. Like, it came out in September and it's so good. Midnight Kisses, The Brightest Side of Sunshine by Lucina. I love that. Archer's voice was really, really good for some reason. I don't know. It took me by surprise. A lot of them took me by surprise. Oh my gosh, Dear Erin by Mariana Zapata. I've read that like seven times. It's so good. Like, I never get sick of it. The Worst Best Man by Lucy Score, obviously. Terms and Conditions, Sweetest Oblivion, just to name a few. I could go on, but we're on a time frame here.
No, we love it. Are there any books that you are just itching to read right now?
Yeah, I want to read Lauren Asher's Love Redesigned, I believe it's what it's called. Because like during 2023, I was really in my Lauren Asher and Hong like era. Like I was reading all their books. When I realized that Anna only had King of Wrath out and King of Pride and all of them hadn't been out yet, I was so mad. I was genuinely so upset because King of Wrath was so good. So I kept reading them, and I have to read King of Sloth now, which I'm really excited. And yeah, those two definitely. And Holly Jackson's new release as well. She hasn't published anything since what was it? Five Survive, which I'm honestly like still traumatized by. If you've read it and you've read that one scene, like I cannot believe she's a menace. I love her, but like she keeps like breaking people's hearts and it's very traumatizing. I'm actually not ready for this book. It's sitting right behind me and I'm scared. Like I'm scared that she's gonna give me another 5 stars.
Yes, oh, that's so real. I need to get back into those books. I only read the first Good Girls Guide to Murder book, but I'm really excited to like finish it. Oh, it was so good.
Book two and book three are like insane. Like it's like I just can't comprehend somebody's mind like this. Like the way that people compliment romance authors for being so unique, like I can't imagine being somebody who writes a mystery or fantasy. Like wow, imagination on par. It's insane.
Yes, no, that's so real. I don't know if I could ever do that. But this is like one of our favorite parts of guest episodes, and I don't think we'll ever get rid of this question. Because it's such a fun, hot topic. We love to get a little controversial when it comes to tropes. So, are there any tropes that you feel super strongly about, good or bad?
I'll do one good, and then if I come up with another bad one, I'll mention it because I already have one in mind. And anybody who knows me knows I freaking hate this trope. But what I love, without a question, is Friends to Lovers, and obviously it's in my first book, so I had to. But Friends to Lovers, I believe, is like a very underrated trope, and I think it's mostly because most people really want like enemies to lovers, you know, angst and all that. But I believe friends to lovers can also have angst. Like, as somebody who is so in love with the process of falling in love, I think like friends to lovers allows for, at least most of the time, like a realistic way for how a lot of couples in real life get together by being friends first and getting to know each other. Like, you know, the tension when they both know they want each other, but nobody wants to take the first step. The little moments along the way, their respective friends encouraging them, the small little jealousy moments that you shouldn't be having because you're just friends. Like, I love that. Like, it's so fun. I might be the problem because I've experienced it one too many times and it didn't go anywhere. But you know, that's another story for another day. But one trope that I hate so fucking much, like, oh, I hate it. It's love triangles. And it's like the most, if I think like the original tropes, love triangles is one of them. Like I think love triangles is one of the original tropes, and I hate it. I think it's the most absurd, abominable thing that's ever existed in the history of romance. Like I don't understand the point. The smallest exception to maybe once, maybe twice, it kind of has a love triangle, but I didn't know about it, so it doesn't count. But yeah, it was just I really don't understand the point of them. Like we, at least from my understanding, whenever I read a love triangle and I'm introduced to two characters, right? If somebody, like for example, will have the main guy that she's already crushing on, and then it'll be another guy who comes in. If that's the case, it's gonna be the second guy. If it's a case of where like it's just like two guys that she likes and she can't decide, it's always going to be the first guy. Like I always know which one she's going to end up with. And to me is like so like what's the word? Like just not even just annoying, it's just frustrating because it's like, why am I reading this then if I know who she's going to end up with? Like there's no mystery, there's no plot twist. Like we know who she's going to end up with because one always treats her worse than the other. So I don't really see the point, and I won't lie, like there's a reason why I hate love triangles, and it stems from this Wattpad story that I read years ago, and it was 134 chapters long. It took me, I think, 6 months to read. And on top of that, she didn't even end up with the two guys that were in the love triangle. She ended up with somebody else. And I was just like, so you're telling me I just spent all this time reading this only for it to end up with a whole other guy? Was so frustrated. Like, you don't even understand. And like, that's a little bit like unfair, but that is why I hate love triangles. Like, ever since that, I said, never again am I putting myself through this type of bullshit. Like, I can't. But yeah, other ones that like I dislike. Let me think real quick. Okay, I'm not saying I hate enemies to lovers. I love enemies to lovers. However, I do not like the principle of they're not actually enemies to lovers. Like, he loves her, but she doesn't know that. I hate that trope. I think it's so
Yeah.
stupid. Because okay, let me explain, because I just saw Issa's face. Because like, I hate it because like, especially when it's like a grown man, it's just like you pretended to hate her to be close to her.
It's the only
I
way he
don't.
could keep her in his life.
We'll take the Spanish Love Deception, for example, which I love. Don't get me wrong. I love, I love, I love. But like, for example, Aaron, it's not like she was gonna leave. They worked together. So I don't really understand the point of that. But you know, it's not that I hate it. It's just recently, not recently, like last year I read a lot of those, so I kind of got sick of them. So yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm gonna stir up conversations, I swear. I'm so sorry.
You're so fun. We are both avid love triangle haters.
Yeah. Oh, thank
Because
God.
I want the choice to be made for me. I don't want to have to think about it.
Right? That's just.
And it's extra unfortunate because not only our book that we're writing together, but also Sam's like one that she's writing by herself, they're both like not actual love triangles. And I'm like, why did we do this?
Good luck writing that, to be honest.
Yeah, you're telling me. You're
But you know
telling
what?
me.
Funny enough, I want to, like, I don't know. Okay, so you know how Elena is coming out with a new book, The Fiancé Dilemma, soon? Is that a love triangle? I feel like it isn't, because I saw like three men on the cover. Is that's a quadruple? Like, what's going on? I'm really excited to read it, because I feel like if anybody could write like a really good love triangle and actually have you not figure out who she's gonna end up with, it would be Elena, for sure. So,
I love
but
that.
yeah, if I would ever write a love triangle, it would definitely be more than just two people. It would actually, like, you wouldn't be confused.
Yeah. I like that. I would read a very big love shape, not triangle, if it was One Direction. So, you know, so
Stop.
true. So real.
Stop that
So true.
reaction. Oh, don't make me laugh.
Wait, no, you know,
Dude.
I've been seeing a lot lately, especially on the Likewise account. Like, first of all, so many One Direction memes, and obviously I post them all on the Likewise account, and on my personal, but that's beside the point. But especially on the Likewise account, I've been seeing a lot more that's like, I go to bed with my hair in a messy bun and like cute pajamas just in case I wake up the next morning to my mom saying, "Get up, I sold you to One Direction."
No, I was just about to mention I miss like reading One Direction or just like any one of the members' Wattpad like fan fictions. There is one about Harry Styles that I read years ago, and it's still like the best fan fiction I've ever read in my life. Like, it was phenomenal, and it was a friends to lovers, and it was just great. I miss those times, honestly.
Love that. We'll bring it back. We'll start
Yeah.
writing Imagines again and full-blown fanfics.
Yes, please. Please do. They were a time.
Okay, so to bring us into our final question for today. Oh my gosh, that's so sad. This has been so much
I'm
fun.
very upset. You guys are so fun.
Oh, that's so nice. Have you already been thinking about, well, I guess we already know that you have been working on what's next after Damned and Beautiful for the Beautifully Hearing series, like anything you want to share?
Yeah, so for those who don't know, I have started working on book two, if it wasn't obvious how I mentioned it like literally five times. Anyway, it's going, I won't lie, like a little slow. And the reason for that, which is what I was trying to mention, that I said I was going to mention now earlier is that Rosetta, which is the character of book two, who you'll meet in Damned and Beautiful, is nothing like me. Absolutely nothing like me at all. Like, I'm writing a character who's not only like a different ethnicity as me, but also just has a very different personality because of the way that she grew up. Like, I like, especially, and also Iris, like, again, Iris is me. I grew up very fortunate. I will not lie. Like, I grew up very fortunate. My parents were hardworking people. So, where they're alive. Sorry. Are hardworking people. And because of that, like, I've been able to do like a lot of things in my life. And, you know, I've experienced luxury. Like, I went to Europe last year, for example. So, you know, but Rosetta did not experience that, and I don't know what that's like. I've experienced it in the sense of like a little bit when I was younger, but it was mostly because of other factors. It was not like from the beginning, if that makes sense. So, yeah, so it's just very, very different of how she grew up. And then because of the way she grew up, she acts a certain way, she goes about things a certain way. So it's been very, very difficult to write kind of the beginning of the story and just the pacing overall. However, though, I'm like really, really excited to write that book. Like, the two of them are gonna be like a very feisty bunch. I love them already, and I know their interactions are gonna like leave people swooning, hopefully. One of my great friends on here, Ruchi, the first person to read Damned and Beautiful, she's really, really excited to read this book. My character is heavily inspired by her. And she's been excited about this book before I even like figured out the title, which I'll do a little reveal. Not a title reveal, but like I'll say the first letter. It's still and beautiful, but it's a different word. So it starts with a T. And I'll name one of the tropes. It's a marriage of convenience. So yeah. I'm very excited. It takes place in a completely different location, so the vibes are going to be different. This one, I won't lie, is a little bit more steamy than Damned and actually a lot more steamy than Damned Beautiful. Well, that's because of who the male MC as who he is as a person. So, you know, all the things.
I love that. I love getting little sneak peeks. And I have only ever read one, maybe two Marriage of Convenience books, and I ate them up. Like, I never expected it to be a trope that I liked, because, like, I was kind of like, oh, I feel kind of neutral towards it. Like, there's not a part of me that's like drawn to it. But then after I read, like, the first like real Marriage of Convenience book I read, I'm just obsessed. Like, it is like such a good trope to me now.
Literally, what got me into it was Terms and Conditions by Lauren Asher. And I think the reason why I love Marriage of Convenience more than fake dating, because I was obsessed with fake dating, is that Marriage of Convenience forces them into a house together. So it's just like even more
Forced
like,
proximity.
yeah, you know. So definitely like a trope that is like not written a lot, but most of the time done very well. So it's a good trope, and I hope I can, you know, do it justice as well.
Yes. Yes. Oh
Yeah.
my gosh, that is so exciting. I, for one, cannot wait. That, oh my gosh. Write it so fast,
Me
please.
neither. I'm also excited for it to be written. I'm waiting for
Yeah.
the inspiration to hit me, but it's just like struggling. I wrote the prologue for it, and it's I remember when one of my friends, she was reading the prologue, and she's like, "Wow, this is really deep." I was like, "Well, you're not ready for book two. Book two's worse." I wrote the prologue first because I knew how I wanted it, and I knew that I wanted to be like kind of mysterious, and it won't really make sense until another plot twist, so in the middle of the book. So yeah, anyway, I'm gonna
Love
stop
that. No,
blabbing
you're
about
good.
book two.
You're all good. We love it. We're eating it up. And yeah, again, cannot wait. Monica, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk with us and let us into your brain a little bit more.
Thank you so much. for having me. Honestly, like, I feel like I talked a lot, but I know, like, you guys made me really, really comfortable, and it was fun, and I hope everybody who's listening enjoys it too. And I hope everybody is reading Damned and Beautiful right now. That'd be great. Please.
Yes. Yes. So before we officially close out the episode, we're going to end it with our song of the week. So, Sam, what is your song of the week? Okay, this is so funny. I sat down, like I said, I forgot about Roses and Thorns and Song of the Week until I sat down and opened the episode notes and I was like, oh man. And I am currently wearing a Journey sweatshirt. But so that's how I got my song of the week. I was like, well, I'm wearing a Journey sweatshirt, so might as well pick my favorite Journey song, which is Separate Ways. So, but then I was thinking about it and I have an extra song of the week. And my extra song of the week is going to be by Ariana Grande,
Oh,
because
period.
yeah,
Period.
because I forgot that Monica's like the biggest Ariana Grande stan, and me too. So
I love me some Ariana Grande.
yes.
I'm sorry. It's just she's been with me for like my whole life. I promise you one day, like, I'm dedicating a book to her. Like, I cannot wait to get my Eternal Sunshine tattoo. Like, that woman, I swear, they can never make me hate her. Ever. I
Yes,
promise you.
same. Okay, Monica, what's your song of the week?
So I love putting people on music. It's like my favorite thing to do ever. So I'm gonna give a couple if that's okay. If you haven't listened to Ariana, please listen to Eternal Sunshine. Not the whole album, but like just Eternal Sunshine. Because listen, the second that beat started playing, I knew it was gonna be my song. I just
So
knew.
good.
But other ones, I have no, not that one. Sorry, Cry Baby by C. Rose. It's kind of depressing, not gonna lie, but I love that song. Then there's Collector by also C. Rose, and then we have The Elevator by Lizzie McAlpine, and then another song coincidentally also named Cry Baby. I found it recently. I was like, oh, what a coincidence. But it's called Cry Baby by Eliza McLam. So really, they're all sad songs. I'm sorry. I apologize. I love me a sad song, but they're all really like nice and cool. I think sad songs are good to like put in the back while you're doing stuff. So, hope you guys enjoy that.
No, you're so good. I love depressing media.
Right?
It like makes
Isn't
my
it
world go
just
round, apparently.
it's therapeutic, honestly. Like it helps heal the soul
Something.
in the way, like when you see other people sad for the same reason you're sad, it makes you feel less sad, if that makes sense.
So real. So
Mm-hmm.
real. My song of the week, because I'm still just reeling from my South Carolina trip a week ago. LOL, so sad. But also I just love me my 90s, early 2000s rom-coms. There She Goes by The Laws, classic, cannot go
Oh.
wrong, obsessed.
Yeah.
Great
Yes,
song.
for sure.
Oh,
Oh,
I love it.
I have to rewatch The Princess Diaries again, or what I watch something. I just need to watch something from early after that party. I kind of have to. So,
Yes,
yes.
so real. Freaky Friday. Me
Oh,
too.
I
Ooh,
love
yes. Sam got
people
to do some
don't.
research. Right.
People don't understand my love for Lindsay Lohan and Hilary Duff. Like, honestly, I
Yes,
love
so real.
them so much.
Oh my word. Well, this has honestly been such a pleasure. And if you haven't already, make sure to grab your copy of Damned and Beautiful on Kindle Unlimited, or just regular ebook or paperback from Amazon, and join the party. It's so fun, so good. Monica, this was honestly an incredible chat with you. Again, thank you so much for agreeing to be on and for letting us pick your brain.
Thank you.
Yes. No, of course. And before we forget, because we almost forget every single guest episode, you can find Monica on Instagram at I'm Literacy Obsessed. Go follow her. You'll get all her book updates there. Yes.
You.
Well,
And you
and it's
guys
so
are
pretty.
following my
The
style.
aesthetics are amazing.
Real. Thank you.
Well, again, this was so good, so fun. And Sam and Monica, I just hope you guys both have a really great rest of your days.
And likewise to you all.
Bye.
Bye.